Every week I talk to men who are at different stages of the divorce process. And in every case, there is at least one or two guys that have that fear of uncertainty of what comes next. That, where do I go from here, look in their eyes. And today I want to make a video that will answer some of those questions and relieve some of the anxiety and stress associated with this process, because I believe that you, like most other men, are going to learn that divorce is not a failure. In fact, quite the opposite. Divorce is more like a graduation. You're going to have learned an awful lot of things, and your life is going to be so much better. Because today, I'm going to give you at least 50, maybe 60, maybe 100, a lot of good reasons why being divorced is way better than being in a bad marriage. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Early in your divorce process, you probably heard these words from your soon-to-be ex-wife. I'm not happy. And she looks at you like it's your fault. One of my favorite lessons from divorce is that you cannot, could not, have not, will not ever have the power to make anyone else happy. And the thought that this other full-grown adult, this woman that you've been married to for such a long time, thought that you, as a man, had this magical power to make her happy, just shows how delusional she has been and how your marriage has been aimed toward failure, toward divorce, since the very beginning. If she had this preconceived idea that happiness was going to be found in this institution, it's no wonder the whole thing fell apart. But now you, as a man, oh my God, you're relieved of the responsibility. There's no more expectation. You don't have to check in with her to see how she's doing anymore. You don't have to see, is she feeling okay? Is that sour face on her, is that sour look on her face your responsibility? Or is it something that she's just thinking of on her own? The illusion that men in marriage are in some way responsible for our wives' happiness is one that must stop here and now. This has got to be the biggest myth slash lie slash, I don't know, distortion of reality that we've ever come across. So yeah, you're not in charge of that anymore. Congratulations, you've graduated. A couple months ago, I was thinking I needed to get a bigger car because Debbie was such a big dog. And I used to have this little Subaru, which when I only had two little dogs was fine. But now I've got two little dogs, little, they weigh 60 pounds, and Debu, who weighs twice that. He's like two more dogs all in one. I needed more space. So I went on the internet, I went on YouTube, I did all my research, came to a conclusion, went to the dealership and bought a car. You may be thinking, so what, John? Who cares? Well, here's the thing, is I didn't have to ask anyone, I didn't check in, I didn't have to get approval. There was no conversation, there was no discussion. It was just me wanting to buy a bigger vehicle. So I got this really cool, all sported out, you know, with all-terrain tires and skid plates, stuff that I probably will never use, but it's nice just to know it's there. Do you know what I mean? SUV that, you know, it's got leather. I mean, it's just all the way up, you know, it's just got everything I could possibly want in it. And there was no conversation, there was no arguments, there was no, let's do a comparison, there was no driving from dealership to dealership with her to check out every other car in the world. It was just me making a decision, going to a dealership and buying a car and driving it home a few hours later. What a relief, what a relief. Like I said, it's a graduation, it's not a failure. Come on, Debu, let's go. Lead the way, pal. Lead the way. Before my divorce, money was always a problem. Despite the fact that sometimes we made a lot of money. I think, you know, going back 10 years between the two of us, we would make over $250,000 a year. And back then, that was pretty good money. But we were always short. We were always living paycheck to paycheck. I couldn't figure that out. I was like, God, how much money do we have to make to get ahead? I was just mystified by how much money was gone all the time. Well, now that she's gone, guess what happened? Yes, I have more money. It's amazing how that works. It's like, holy shit. How much money was she spending? And what was she spending it on? I remember when we moved out of our old house as a part of the pre-divorce stuff, I had to get a U-Haul truck, like a 21, 22 foot U-Haul truck, and pack it with stuff. Not to move to our new house, no. To take to the dump. To take to the dump. I swear to God. I drove this giant truck filled with all of this crap to the dump. Tens of thousands of dollars worth of junk that was acquired, mostly by her, mostly at Target. Gone. So that, I don't have that problem anymore. I don't like to think I'm a minimalist, but compared to what we were living like before, oh my God, I am a true minimalist. I live on a shoestring these days. I mean, it's unreal how little it takes for me to get from, you know, week to week, month to month. My biggest expense, aside from my mortgage, are my dogs. That is the one luxury I've allowed myself. And I didn't even expect to have three dogs, but so be it. They cost more than just about everything else in my life. So, yeah. I'm glad that I've replaced her with the dogs. A big thing about women is they are always looking outward for validation. And as part of that external validation, they're always looking for ways to measure up. And part of that measuring up involves money. So not having to keep up with the Joneses, not having to keep up with our neighbors, not having to worry about what someone else is doing in their lives has been such a relief. I don't know what kind of cars my neighbors drive. I don't know which ones decorate their houses for different holidays. I don't care. I just don't care. But these are things that used to be a part of my worldview way back in the day when I was married. I would have to keep track of that stuff because I was going to hear about it. If the next door neighbor had put up a nativity scene, then guess what? I had to build a nativity scene, you know? If they're putting, you know, new flowers out for Easter, guess what? We were going to Lowe's to buy some flowers for Easter. It was just, I don't know, it's just such a weird existence. Things I never thought that I would be involved with when I got into this marriage suddenly became part of my daily operation. And now that she's gone, the relief of not having to worry about these things is just unreal. You know, the freedom to make decisions about your finances and to accumulate wealth, these are enormous things that are so part and parcel to being an independent person, having control over your life and what, you know, not being pushed around by the economy every single time some new politician gets in there and screws things up. Because I'm financially solvent now, you know? It's just a wonderful experience to be financially solvent for the first time in, you know, 25 plus years. Not having to worry about what her financial drain on my finances is probably the biggest thing. You know, it's one of the biggest things. So about, I think it's about 4 years ago, I bought my own house. Now, I bought other houses before. Like, before I got married, I had owned a couple houses. Being married, I had owned a few houses, and now I bought another house. Now, the difference is, this house, I can actually afford to furnish the way I want it to be, and I don't get anyone else's opinion about the way it should be. This is unmistakably a superpower for men when they get divorced. I have a lot of gray in my house because I like the color gray. And you say, John, I'm not sure gray is a color, but that's okay because it's my house. You see what I mean? Gray works for me. It contrasts the white, you know? So I have gray, I have white. I have a little bit of dark blue somewhere, you know? But it's all the colors that I like. It looks like a man lives there. Now, it doesn't, you know, look like a slob lives there. I'm not a college kid anymore. This isn't a frat house, but it definitely has a masculine energy to it, and I love that. The next thing is sleeping in my own bed without having someone who doesn't want me to touch them laying next to me. You know, from time to time, the dogs will jump on the bed in the middle of the night, and they'll push right up against me. You know, they just want some pets. They want to be recognized. And then they get tired of being up there because it's too hot, they jump down. But I get to sleep anywhere on the bed that I want. I can stretch out diagonally across a king-size bed. I feel like a like a small fish in a big pond. You know, it's the best feeling in the world. You can live your life the way you want and not having to share space, especially in your bedroom with a woman, is wonderful. I have the whole master closet. But it's just, I have stuff in there I haven't worn in since I was in, I had a job. And I probably just need to throw it out. I keep throwing more and more of it out from year to year because I just don't think I'm ever going to wear it again. But the fact that that whole master closet is mine, a walk-in closet, is wonderful. I keep so much of my stuff in there. You know, it's not just clothes. I keep old coats. I keep my laundry basket in there. I can keep so much stuff in there. I don't have to worry about anyone complaining or whining about not having enough space. The drawers, I can organize them completely the way I want. All the drawers are mine. I'm not splitting drawers with her, you know? I know these seem like little trivial things, but they just kind of suck away at your quality of life day after day after day when you're cohabitating with a woman who doesn't want to be with you anyway, and she's making it clear that she's unhappy with you. You know, so it's just, I mean, if you are pleasant and loving and sweet and kind, it's the kind of compromises that you can justify and make. But when you're with someone who basically is blaming you for their lack of happiness in life, well, the last thing you want to do is share space with them, you know? And like I said, laying in bed next to a woman who doesn't want to be touched has got to be one of the worst things in the world. It really does. And then when you try to talk to her, she doesn't want to talk to you, you know? She's just acting like she's asleep. So, yeah. That's childish bullshit. Why would you want to stay in a marriage where that's going on? Why would you want that to be your life day to day? The fear of the unknown is way better than the fear of staying in the known, you know? Don't stay in that hell, that purgatory that you've created for yourself. Get out. If she wants out, just don't let the door hit her in the ass, you know? Just let her go. Oh, and as long as we're talking about the bed, there is no throw pillows on my bed. None. I have two pillows, one on each side, and I have one extra pillow in case I want to sit up and read. That's it. Functional. It's functional. And actually, when I'm sleeping, I take two of those pillows and throw them on the floor because the dogs want to lay up there next to my head. They want to be able to sniff my head in the middle of the night. Sleeping with the temperature at the right temperature. Everyone knows that human beings sleep best at cool temperatures. Somewhere around 68 degrees is the right temperature. To a woman, this might as well be sub-zero. You might as well have the temperature set at, like, you know, freezing, because there's no way in the world that she can sleep with the temperature below 75 degrees. So if you set the temperature at 75 degrees and she's got blankets all on you, you know, it's miserable. And you learn to adapt to this because she needs it. It's something that I am so glad that I don't have to deal with anymore. I go down and I set that thermostat at 68 every single night. And you know what? I sleep like a baby. Sleep like a baby. It's wonderful to wake up to a cool house. Oh, that is the best thing in the world, man. That is the best. I don't know if any of you guys are like this, but I tend to eat the same thing every day. I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. I eat the same thing for lunch every day. And sometimes I eat the same thing for dinner every day. Now, sometimes I switch it up, but very seldom. It's very similar to lunch, you know? What I like about this is I know exactly what's in it. I know exactly how many calories I'm getting. I know exactly how much protein I'm getting. It's all measured out. I know what I'm getting here. I have created a balanced meal plan for myself. It has macronutrients, micronutrients, has everything that I need. I used to try to do this way back in the old days when I was married, because I was sort of into bodybuilding back then. And I would always get blown up because she wanted to go out to Friday. She wanted to go out and eat some junk food somewhere, you know, on the weekends especially. And I would do it, but I knew that I wasn't helping myself. I knew that I was going to have to work twice as hard or starve myself the next day in order to balance things out. And then there would be her cooking. Oh, God bless us, you know. She would try to make food, and I don't know what made her think that she had the ability to do this, but she would try. I've seen her burn water. She didn't boil it, she burned it. just not someone who's got attention to details. And I guess in order to be a really good cook or chef, you've got to have a lot of attention to detail. So dinner with her was always like Russian roulette. And of course you had to appreciate whatever she made because she took time and energy to make it, but it was terrible. It was terrible. And oftentimes it wasn't even healthy. She loaded everything with butter and salt. It's like, ugh, please, man. It's the last thing I need is an extra dose of butter and salt. And of course, genetically, she's as skinny as a stick. She could eat sticks of butter, wouldn't gain a pound. You know what I mean? I eat a stick of butter, I'm gonna look like one of those guys in the eating contest, you know? I'm gonna be as big as a house. So, yeah. I'm glad I don't have to eat her food anymore. I like dressing comfortably, no matter what. Comfortable clothes are comfortable clothes for me. It seemed like for a while there, it didn't matter what I was wearing, I was gonna get some kind of comment on it. Either I would get approval or disapproval. And this is irritating because I don't care what anyone else thinks about the way I'm dressed. But this approval or disapproval thing turns into a seeking permission kind of mechanism in your brain after a few years. Next thing you know, you're asking her, does this look okay? Do I look all right? Am I looking right for this event, whatever it may be? I don't do that anymore, and I don't miss it. And I'm glad that I'll never have to go through that again. So not having to seek approval for the way you look, the way you dress. Vacations. Just deciding for yourself where you're gonna go, what you're gonna do, when you're gonna go. It's just all so much nicer, you know? I can pick the vacation house that I wanna stay in if I'm gonna go to the beach. I don't have to get permission from anybody. I don't need to accommodate anybody. I don't need to think about which bedrooms are for which person. I just rent the house and invite people, and if they come, they come, and if they don't, they don't. It's fine, it's fine. My dogs are gonna be there, so you gotta be prepared for that. She would say, oh no, we can't take the dogs. Yep, we're taking the damn dogs, okay? This is what life is these days. But yeah, not having to seek vacation approval from a woman is one of the blessings that you're going to experience almost right away. Because the first thing you should do after your divorce is go on vacation, because you need it. When I was younger, I used to love to play computer games. Now back then, they weren't nearly as complex or as, you know, good graphics as they are now. But when I got married, those computer games kind of got lost. Just like all my friends, they just kind of got lost. They don't exist anymore. I don't know what happened to them. I think they all got married too. Or they died. It's the same thing. But now I can play computer games again. I don't have to account for my time to her or anyone else. If I want to sit in front of the computer and goof off for hours at a time till 2 o'clock in the morning, I can do that. If I had done that when I was married, there was no way I was getting away with that. The important thing with all of these that I'm listing out here, don't take them for granted. When you realize your singleness and your return of autonomy, your ability to make decisions for yourself and not have to report to another woman, you have to learn to appreciate it. You have to learn to recognize it when it's happening and realize that this is something that you probably would not have been able to do with a woman in your life. And when you start looking at other women, as you inevitably will, you need to weigh all of the wonderful things that you have in your life against the potential for her, okay? And let's get real. You're gonna be in an illusory state when you're looking at her. You got that pink mist in your head, and you're gonna be thinking, oh, she'd be just the perfect girl for me. And she won't. She won't. She's gonna have limitations that she's gonna try to place on you. She's gonna try to control the relationship. You're gonna be in a power struggle, and you're gonna be losing your autonomy. Even if you get into some kind of a compromise situation and your guys fit some kind of a balance, you're still compromising stuff that you would normally not be compromising on. So keep that in mind. Be aware of all the benefits that you're getting with this divorce, and don't be so eager to give them up. No more emotional warfare. That's right. No more walking on eggshells. No more dealing with a tantrum, you know? No more having to be on a constant level of stress. Your cortisol levels will drop dramatically when she leaves. You're going to notice it right away because you're no longer, like I said in the beginning, concerned about her happiness, but then you're no longer concerned about her expressing her unhappiness to you and blaming you for it and adding that level of stress. Or when you're in some kind of a unspoken fight for some reason that you're not even really sure about, but you know she's pissed off and she knows it's probably at you. And so now you're walking on eggshells the whole time, thinking you don't want to trigger her for anything. You're sneaking around your own house so that you don't run into her by accident, because you don't want to have that confrontation. So you're just trying to avoid her at all costs. Yeah, all that's gone. You don't have to deal with that anymore. It's just done. No more criticism, no more judgment, no more emasculation. If you take on a task, like I have this toilet that I need to fix, it's just the, you know, the inner side, you know, the things need to be replaced. It's been on my things to do list for a couple weeks now. I have all this stuff that I need to fix it. I just haven't gotten around to it. I don't have to worry about that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the only one who is suffering or having to deal with that issue. I just turn the water off so it doesn't run, you know? I will get to it when I get to it. It's not an emergency to me. But if I were living with my ex-wife, that would have been an A+, we need to do something about this right this very second emergency. And if I did it and it was not up to her snuff for any reason, and I can't imagine what that would be, but I'm sure there would be something that I did wrong, then I would not have to, I do not have to worry about the judgment or the criticism or the emasculation that comes with it. Women frequently don't realize all the stuff that we do. And there's very little appreciation that we get from them. I used to hang all the ceiling fans. You do all the light electrical work around the house, put up light fixtures, that sort of thing. Not once did she say, "Oh, that's really great that you know how to do that. I really appreciate that." Not once. And I don't have to look for that approval from her anymore, you know? I don't need to look for her to validate my masculinity. And I think that's really a critical element as well, because you are living in your own world. And if you need to develop a skill set to do something, well, you can Google it, or you can get on YouTube, or whatever you need to do to figure out what you need to achieve that goal. Or, like with me sometimes, I'll just pay somebody else to do it. You know, I had some kid knock on my door the other day, he wanted to power wash my driveway. It's like, man, you go for it. $125? Sold. You power wash the hell out of that thing, man. And poor kid was out there for a couple hours in the scorching heat. And not my thing. Now, if I had done that with my wife there, she would have kind of given me a little side eye, you know, like, "What, you can't do that yourself?" Yeah, I could do that myself, but I don't have to, because I'm not spending money on all that shit at Target anymore, you know? I can spend money on stuff that actually makes my life better. No more manufactured drama in your life, where you can tell that she's making a bigger deal out of something than what it deserves. And I don't know if they do this on purpose or if this is just something related to their hormones, but it does seem inevitable with women that they're going to take some tiny little issue and turn it into some kind of an international scandal. So done with that, you know, don't have that in my life anymore. No more silent treatment. Well, that's a good one. Yeah, that's one of those things. It's like, what kind of childish bullshit are we playing here, you know? We're both grown adults. If we have a problem, we should be able to talk about it like grown adults. But as a man, you're overlooking the fact that most women are not grown adults. Most women still live in this adolescent world where they are the celebrity and that you need to bend over backwards to accommodate whatever they want. And they will turn and twist and shift the reality of whatever situation you're in into whatever they think it should be in order to rationalize whatever they think they want. And it is the most frustrating thing in the world, trying to have a conversation with a woman about something that she is emoting about, because she will never see the logic or rational explanation for what's going on, or even what the right answer is for any number of situations. She is going to blame you for anything that goes wrong, and she's going to not only blame you, but she's going to project upon you your motives for doing it wrong. You know, like, you had this evil plan the whole time to subvert her on some level. Yeah. You know, this is crazy. It's crazy. Like, why would I do that? Like, you're the only place I can get sex from. Why would I want to subvert you? You know, I'm just waiting for you to finally, you know, give it up. And it's been 10 years. Come on, man. I'm not stupid here. The emotional stability has returned 90% in my life. The only 10% of craziness that I experience is the occasional time when Debu will chase after a fox or something in the woods. And once he locks on, man, he won't come back. But that's about it. That's about it. And I think I can handle that. I think I can handle that pretty good. And he's getting better. At least he does eventually come back. But he just doesn't realize he'll never catch that fox. Having emotional and psychological stability in your life for the first time in 20 or 30 years is not something to be overlooked. This is an enormous change that you will be experiencing. When you're first going into the divorce, or you're experiencing all the turmoil associated with the divorce, you don't realize how, once this is done, once you're through it, everything is going to get so much better. Everything's going to become so much calmer. You're going to feel so much more at peace on a day-to-day basis. The peace that you're going to experience is going to be incomparable to anything that you have had in your marriage, at least since the beginning. So hang in there. You're going to get through it. I promise. Divorce probably provided me with more opportunities and more actual personal, intellectual, psychological, emotional growth than just about any other event in my life. It literally was a PhD level class in human behavior. And not only watching her and all the behaviors that she had, but then also being able to reflect back on my own and being able to determine where it was I made mistakes along the way, because obviously this is my life and I need to take responsibility for it. And although she might be the instrument of my education, you know, I seem to have picked all the classes. So, I think that you're going to find, upon reflection, when your divorce is done and she's gone, that you're going to become a much better, stronger, smarter, more thoughtful, wiser man. You're going to find that you are more at one with yourself and your life. You're going to have peace to reflect on all these things. You're going to be much less likely to make emotional mistakes. You're going to be much less likely to fall into a place of insecurity where you need to have another woman in your life. Because this is what really causes it. Let's be honest with ourselves here, guys. It's insecurity that gets us stuck in these situations to begin with. And I think you, as I have discovered, will discover that one really is a whole number, that you don't need to have another person in order to feel complete. This is an enormous revelation that most men never, ever, ever get. Most married men will never understand that sense that one is a whole number, that they don't need a woman in their lives in order to feel complete. This is a critical, critical thing. And I think divorce teaches you that if you're watching and you're listening. If you get neurotic, if you start thinking, oh my God, I need to have another woman in my life, then you're going to delay this lesson. You will get it sooner or later, but you're going to delay it for another year or two or three or five. Second marriages are always worse than first marriages. FYI, they just always are. That's why the divorce rate for second marriages is even worse than it is for first marriages. So do not get into another marriage. The likelihood of this working out is very, very slim. And if you're going to do it, wait till you're like in your 70s, like when you only got like 10 years left. That way, if the shit goes bad, at least death will, sweet relief will come. You know what I mean? The sweet relief of death will finally find you and you'll be gone. I hear so many guys thinking, well, John, who's going to take care of me in my old age? This is the dumbest thing I have heard. Like, oh my God. Who's going to take care of you? You think this woman who hates your guts is going to take care of you? You think she's going to take care of you? Really? Have you seen her face, the way she looks at you? Yeah, she's not taking care of you. No. No. In fact, if anything, she might just put you out of your misery or out of her misery. Yeah. When you're in a bad marriage, you can't depend on her for anything. You can't trust her for anything. Being single, self-reliance, man. You make plans for this shit. You figure it out. You make money so that you can afford to pay someone to do this stuff for you, you know? Here's the thing. When you're married, you feel like you're working to serve someone else. So your career and your income is all about being of service to her and to your family and all that. And that's fine. But when you're single again and they've wiped the slate clean and you no longer have the burden of taking care of all these other people, you know what you can do? Is you can start taking care of yourself for the first time. You can start putting money towards those things that you really care about and want in your life. You can start preparing for your retirement. And if, God forbid, you need to have some kind of nursing home care, you can buy one of those, you know, insurance policies that'll pay for that. Yeah, it's going to be expensive, but why not? You know, if you're concerned about it, if you have a legit concern that maybe you're going to need round-the-clock nursing care, then buy one of those long-term care policies, you know? Not that I'm selling them. There's no link in the description. Uh-oh, I think Dibu has discovered something in the water. You okay, Debo? You all right, pal? Other little things that really matter is that since you can now make decisions about your income, you can also make decisions about your career. You're no longer locked into a particular job or career path. Your life has value. Your lifetime has value. Don't waste it chasing money. You know, if you've got something in your head that you want to do, that you've always wanted to do, now's the time to do it. You know, don't worry so much about making money if it's something that you think that you really, really want to do, because your life experience, that's where the value in your life is. Dollars are fine, and everyone's got to have dollars, so you're going to have to make enough money to survive. But if there's some itch that you've got that's not been scratched, then you need to scratch that itch now, you know, because you may never get another chance. Life doesn't provide you with opportunities like this every day. And I do mean this is an opportunity. I know a lot of you are thinking, oh my God, John, divorce is terrible. It's not an opportunity. No, it's absolutely an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to take control of your life for the first time, probably since you were a young man. And this opportunity, this is it. Don't waste it on doing something stupid, like getting another woman in your life, you know? Don't do that. Follow the career path that you want. Put the money away that you want for your own retirement. Plan for your future. What do you want for yourself? I'm looking at buying like a camper, like a trailer, and me and the dogs driving around for a year. You know, I'm thinking that would be fun to make good YouTube videos, and I could have a great time doing it. So I think you guys just need to open up your mind to the possibilities of what you would like to do with your life. You know, what would be fun for you? What would be the adventure that would make getting up every day just a little bit more enjoyable? One of the things that I've gotten from divorce that I think a lot of guys overlook is self-respect. Self-respect. Somewhere along the line, I lost my self-respect, and after the divorce, I found it again. And I value myself more than I ever have in my life, meaning that I am not willing to give away that essence of my experience in order to have or make accommodations for a woman. If I ever have another relationship with a woman, she's gonna have to be a pretty complete, mature human being. I will not have another child in my life. I will not have another dependent, you know? I am not in this game to be somebody's emotional tampon. I want a partner or a friend that is in parallel. You know, that doesn't need a ring on her finger to know that she is loved. She doesn't need to have the legal system behind her to know that she can have a healthy relationship. Someone who can wake up every morning and be her best for me every single day. You know what I mean? That's what I want, because that's what I'm willing to give. But you gotta come and you gotta bring it every damn day. I don't ever want to be involved in any kind of obligatory sex again. Yes. There is nothing quite like having sex with someone who feels obligated to have sex with you. Now, I mean, if you've paid the girl, then obviously she should hopefully perform pretty well. You know, there shouldn't be a sense of obligation there. But with it's your wife, and she's just laying there, and she's like looking at her watch saying, okay, I've got 15 minutes before I need to be somewhere, so let's get this over with. I'm like, really? Holy shit. I would just rather do it myself. Please, just leave. Let me go. Just, I don't want to have you here when this happens, you know? It's much more fun without you here. Please, go. Yeah, obligatory sex is the worst. And when you take part in it, you don't feel loved. You don't feel like this was a mutual experience. You feel like you might as well have just had a blow-up doll or one of Elon Musk's future sex dolls, you know? Because this is ridiculous. It's insane that you can be giving your life to another person day in and day out, paying her bills, taking care of her, being her emotional rag, and then she withholds sex from you most of the time, and when there's finally time for you guys to have an intimate moment, she makes it seem like she's doing you a favor. Fuck that, man. Fuck that. If you still have young kids, you can be the parent that you want to be. When she's gone, you don't have to worry about getting divorced. There's no more power imbalances in any relationships. If you ever decide to have another relationship, you'll have this one to reflect on and say, you know what, I am not doing that again. You'll have a valuable lesson book that you can refer back to at any time. No more threat of being sued. Oh, menopause. You don't have to worry about menopause. Hopefully you've gotten out before that started. But if not, you're not going to be a victim of it, because postmenopause is just as bad as menopause itself, maybe even worse. Because now they've landed in whatever place they're going to be, and all their hormones are now screwed up. And they're going to be really angry, and they're going to be angry at you because you just happen to be the guy that's there when it's happening. I think the most important category of things here is your personal growth. And that is, you no longer need someone outside of yourself to feel whole. You're not seeking validation from a woman. You respect yourself. You have reclaimed your autonomy. You're rediscovering your authentic self. You're setting goals for yourself in a manner that you never have before. And you're seeing those goals manifest. You're pushing toward goals that are meaningful to you. You're not looking for permission to do anything in your life. You know what it finally means to be a whole and complete man. And the irony here is that when you got married, you thought that by being married, you would experience a sense of completeness. And when actually the exact opposite happened, it actually tore you down as a human being. And now you're going through the process of rebuilding your life and rebuilding your personality. And to some degree, rebuilding yourself. Because at the end of the day, that's what you've lost in your marriage. And regaining yourself is the single most powerful thing that you're going to get from a divorce. Because when you have self-respect and autonomy and authenticity, and you've discovered really what masculinity means to you in terms of the way that you run your life, and you have been able to express your own leadership skills, it just changes your perspective in so many ways. Getting your life back is a gift that you get from divorce. It's one that your wife never intended to give you. The best experience I've had since my divorce, not the best, but a good one, was becoming so much more successful after our divorce. You know, seeing my life take off in directions that it never would have if I had remained married. And knowing that she has to reflect on that and realize that she was holding me back the whole time. That marriage was holding me back. And the only X factor there is her. Like, her presence in my life made my life worse on almost every level. Man, I did get kids, you know, and I guess on a day-to-day basis, it wasn't always miserable. But when I think back at what my life could have been if it had not been for her, you know, if I'd gotten divorced 10 years earlier, what would have happened? It really does make me think, because I knew the 10 years before we got married, before we got divorced, that we were heading that direction. I mean, the writing was on the wall. So I spent an extra decade sitting in that dead marriage, really just trying to accommodate her and trying to check on her happiness day in and day out and see what I could do to win back her affection. Yeah, what a terrible existence that is. So, yeah, be happy you're getting a divorce. You're getting your life back. And she could not give you a better gift. You've got time left on this planet to do the things that you want to do. Do them. Do them now. Don't allow yourself to fall back into the trap of giving your life over to a woman, because there's no return on investment. I mean, there's just no return on investment. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who might enjoy it, please share it with them. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.